Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
We're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up right now!
For God's sake!
I swear to God, I will go over
you.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hello there, and welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics, where we do one show a week, but really we could do one show every hour and still couldn't keep up with all the things in this administration, in this era. The new normal that is a fire hose of information, that's for sure. So, hi Rex, how you doing? Haven't seen you in ages.
Yeah, it's been a while, right?
I was traveling the last week. I left right after we recorded, and I feel like I was gone for a month because not only was I super busy traveling, but I feel like every time I looked up, there was so much happening. And I was in a position where I couldn't keep an eye on my phone in the way that I normally do. Mm-hmm. I had to make a point to go seek it out and seek out information. And so like every, you know, hour or two, I was looking and going, holy shit, what's going on now? What just happened?
Yeah, that's the world we live in.
I have to tell you, your tweets were among the first I looked at every time because I was like, I know Rex is on it. I'm just going to look and see what he's doing.
I'm sorry.
Mostly that steered me right. A couple of times I was like, what is he talking? What? Oh, he's kidding.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah, that's the tricky thing. Yeah.
Satire.
Yeah. Nyak, nyak, nyak.
Yeah. So.
And that's why we're in, it's such a weird time right now because a lot of times I send things. I mean, people know that I'm generally a goofball, but I send things and people are like, wait, is that real? Did that happen? I just did that Betsy DeVos press release today where I sent out a fake press release. they sent me, this is what they get for sending me press releases.
That'll teach them.
It just had all the Department of Education heading and everything on it. So I just took a photo, whacked off all of their, text and put mm-hmm. my own text in. But then people are like, wait a minute, is this real?
See, that's the trouble. Especially with that, because you like misspelled things on purpose and did things like that. So it's like.
I said she's introducing God's math.
Well, and you even said the opening sentence, welcome peoples who are before me in the chairs. Next sentence, I thank you for having the ears to be listening to my mouth noises.
But people are.
In that, there are 19 typos that are quite intentional.
But people still are like, wait a minute.
My mouth noises.
Hold on. Wait. She could have had Ben Carson write that for her. We don't know.
Jesus. That. I'm still reeling from this, and this. I mean, let's be real. I'm still reeling from David Bowie's death a year ago, but then, you know, I couldn't. All this.
I still say that's the moment when everything came unglued. I really hold that out as a pivot point.
Do you remember that tweet, though? Someone said something like, I'm not saying David Bowie held together the fabric of the universe, but, and then parentheses, it said, gestures broadly, which is true. Yes. David Bowie bailed, and look where we are now.
Everything went bonkers.
Everything went to shit. Nothing, come back, David Bowie.
Nothing makes sense in the MERS.
So tell me about your column that you just did the other day. That was a good one.
Which one?
The one about deporting the white supremacy leaders.
I can't. That's the problem, too, is that I can't keep track of. The things are moving so fast. I've told you this before. I've gotten halfway through about, I don't know, probably 20 columns and had to change path. So people were like, yeah, I liked what you wrote Tuesday or I hated what you wrote Tuesday. And I'm like, I have no idea what I wrote Tuesday. What are you talking about? But, yeah, that one. Our good friend, Representative Steve King. Iowa, the R stands for racist. He talked about how we can't, something like I don't have the direct quote, but we can't protect our civilization with other people's babies or something like that. Basically.
Which there is so much in that sentence with other people's babies.
Yeah.
Just that one phrase, there's so much in that because it's the implied overt, which I'm going to put together, but true. Even though they seem like they're contradicting each other, both true in this case. The implied overt white supremacy is so stunning there.
Yeah, and he was retweeting the Dutch politician or political candidate who is super anti-Islamic.
Oh, God.
And
there was a protest. There was like people that showed up and they were protesting his super xenophobic ways.
Mm-hmm.
So Steve King retweets that guy who was complaining about the
Muslims.
Moose lamb.
Yeah, the moose lambs.
So, yeah. And it was like, it was one of those tweets, like I saw it and I just, you just have to stare at it for a minute. 'Cause you're like other people, other what?
It was a sort of racist slash xenophobic turducken. It was just a, you know, I mean, what he was retreating was offensive. The person that the thing that he was retreating was referring to is offensive. And then he's adding his own offensive, he's adding his own like outer, crispy outer layer of offensiveness to the whole thing. And it was really staggering. And the next day, given an opportunity to walk that one back a titch, he just went,
oh no,
just put his head down and charged right at it and just kept saying the same crap, only even worse.
Worse, way worse.
And talking about how he's getting now into how, you know, black people and Latino people are going to be fighting to become the next majority. I was just like, oh my God. And then he's citing some book that Huffington Post recently wrote about this book that apparently is a favorite of Steve Bannon's that is a completely insanely xenophobic
book. The one that it's like the one that Steve Bannon's always talking about?
Yeah, and I'll find the name in a minute, but because it's not
the one that talks about like the four eras of civilization and that we're entering the fourth one and tinfoil hat blah 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 blah.
Well, it's more like a fictional story about Muslims invading Europe and stealing their civilization basically. So
because there's that other book he talks about all the time that's like the philosophical.
Right, yeah. He's got several. Yeah, yeah. He's got several books, all of which are not.
We're
going to
air
books.
Quote.
Yeah.
Books.
Yeah, books in the strange sense. I will, before the end of the show, find the name of that book. But anyway, regardless, you know, good old mini Steve Bannon King, you know, cites that book as evidence of all the bad that all the brown people do to all the places in the world.
Right, but that book's fiction.
Of course.
Fiction can't be evidence.
No, it doesn't matter. But anyway,
for Christ.
So I said it's time we start deporting certain white men. If we want to preserve our American culture, which is one of kindness and openness.
That is a melting pot of people.
Right, and diversity. We, obviously, the time has come to deport certain. It's not an easy, I don't come to this decision easily. And I do promise that it will be done in a humane manner, but we have to start removing certain white men from America.
And so, what are the qualifications that you're listing for certain white men to be? I'm on board, but tell me the ways.
I didn't cite specific ways. It was more just people along the lines of Steve King, along the lines of I even pulled Jason Chaffetz in there for his iPhone comment, which we talked about last week, just generally kind of insulting the poor. But it is this the thing that I tried to get at in that, all joking around aside, was that we're in a moment of extreme meanness. And I cited all of the different things that different things that the administration is doing right now that just seem intentionally mean and mean-spirited. And it's, you know, the Muslim ban, the travel ban. It's the talking about separating children from their mothers at the border. You know, things like this that where, you know, you're not just enacting a policy that you believe in. You are going about it in a way that is intentionally unkind and almost seems as if you're just doing it to really piss off the people that have a different view than you. And so that's what I'm talking about, is I just feel like all of these guys, I mean, Steve Bannon, you see it from Steve King, you see it from Trump, you see it from...
I think we got a Steve problem here.
It could be the Steves, yeah, exactly. Maybe we just need to divert white...
We better talk to Bertrand about this.
White men named Steve.
Bertrand will not be on board with this at all. He's all right. We like him.
Yeah.
Well, interestingly, you know, I feel like right after the election, a lot of people were talking about like, well, let's have dialogue. Let's do this. It's not about right, wrong, mean, nice. It's about another point of view. And this, you know, let us explain away things like this as mere blind spots and lack of awareness. It is not a blind spot. This is acting out of supremacy.
Yes.
Whether it's white or male, it is acting out of a sense of supremacy and having less regard for people not like you.
Exactly. And there is no, I'm sorry, but Google Steve King's name over the past week and look at the things that he said. Look at the whole, all in context, look at it all.
Oh, it's all bad.
It is white, I mean, that's white supremacy defined.
Oh, yeah. Defined.
I mean, absolutely ridiculous. And by the way, the name of that novel is The Camp of the Saints, which tells a grotesque tale about a migrant invasion to destroy Western civilization. So, you know, we have politicians that are citing this crap right now.
Right. And again, that's fiction.
Right. It's
fiction. That's like saying, you know, I'm trying to think of the most absurd fiction.
I worry about tiny little people. Have you read Gulliver's Travels? We must outlaw extremely small people.
Right. Like, I'm really concerned about rooms with red curtains and you know, stripy floors. Have you seen this Twin Peaks? Like, come on. The other book that I was thinking of, the one that Bannon has kind of based a lot of his worldview, is called The Fourth Turning, What Cycles of History Tells Us About America's Next Rendezvous with Destiny.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
All these guys have like this sort of dystopia fetish, you know, like,
oh, yeah,
it's really weird. I mean, it's like our, you know, America is a blighted landscape right now, being overrun by hordes of, you know, immigrants and
brown people.
Right. It's like, what America are you looking at? You know, it's that baffles me.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot going on that's quite wrong and quite awful. Speaking of white supremacy, good old Richard Spencer sent a thing in support of Steve King. I think that was last night or this morning.
Yeah.
I forget the timestamp, but...
So did David Duke. David Duke applauded
him. Of course
him. So it's
he
like,
did.
I mean, come on, guys. When these guys are saying... are like, yeah, woo!
Right. When you're getting a standing ovation from known Nazis,
right,
you got issues.
Yeah, something is wrong. I mean, something is fundamentally wrong there. And nobody seems willing to acknowledge it. And more importantly, and what just disgusts me, is that nobody's denouncing this stuff. The denunciations that came from Republicans, a handful of Republicans, regarding the
things
that Stephen King...
They were tiptoes.
Yeah, they were tiptoes. It's like, oh, I, you know, don't agree with his words or... Well, it's like, come on, man. No, you don't... Look, this is America, and you do not... let that crap fly from a public official. That is ridiculous.
But yet we do, and we are.
Yeah,
and it
say,
is.
I should say should not we don't, but yeah.
You know, I mean, right now that's the thing, is it's happening.
Yeah, and it's just being like...
I don't think we have the luxury of the time to be outraged or to be, hey, this is America, we don't do that. I don't think we have that time. I think now's the time where we have to fight back against that. I don't know all the ways. When you have elected officials, there's inherent power in that.
Mm-hmm.
When you have, you know, the people that are by definition making and enforcing the laws of the land, it's very difficult to fight structures of power. Otherwise, we would have fixed this shit a long time ago.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
And I would have personally dismantled the patriarchy years ago.
Yes.
If it was that easy.
Guth v. patriarchy.
Why do I think that's actually going to be happening? I'd take one for the team on that.
That's a kind of you.
If that's what it took.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's not until 2018 that we're going to actually be able to see.
Well, that's when we can fight it with an election.
Well, right. But that's kind of where, I mean, when it comes to elected officials, that's where the rubber meets the road. Did I do that right? I think I did that right. Holy cow.
He got it rubber, right.
That's where the metal meets the nugget.
we need other things that we can do in the meantime, because I don't know about you, but like 2 years from now, that can it is March the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're just getting started. Well, I don't think we have the luxury of waiting to the midterms. I think we have to do other things now. The question is, what are those things? I've seen fewer and fewer postings of, here, this is the script of what to say when you call your representatives. But even then, there's only like, if I'm the representative of like Massachusetts, I can't do shit about the guy in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do anything about him. I can stop some of his, you know, I can stop some large bills. I can do things like that if he's sponsoring them. But I can't, he's not accountable to his peers in an enforceable way.
Right, which is the problem. Because I agree with you. I don't know what people can do in order.
I think the bigger issue is that we've gotten to a place culturally where we're willing to fucking elect white supremacy leaders into, you know, as our lawmakers. That's the problem. I mean, we can keep... Yes, we need to be diligent, and yes, we need to vote and not be a dumbass about it and fix this at the midterms and every election after. But I think there's got to be something that to be done about these, like the cultural moments and the power structures that have allowed people like that to ascend to power.
Yeah, well, and what's allowing it to happen? I mean, Steve King's been around for a long time, and he's been offensive for a long time, but not to this degree. And the reason it's worse now is because he finally feels emboldened to say what he really thinks.
Yeah.
And that's because Donald Trump is the president, period. I mean, that's, you know, if Donald Trump is not the president, if Donald Trump's approach to things and his worldview did not win out in the election,
right,
then this wouldn't be happening, at least to this degree right now, because people would be like, oh, crap. They'd be slightly chastened and realize, okay, this didn't work. Well, it did work, suckers, and now we got a real problem because you have just opened the barn doors on this kind of crazy, and it's going to...
I think it's getting worse by the day.
Yeah. And the only... I mean, honestly...
We need to build a bunker, Hupke.
Yeah.
We need a bunker with, like, years of weird food in cans.
I got one already. Don't worry.
Damn it. I should have known you would do
it's
that.
It's super fancy. It's got a nice pool. So, yeah, people have to keep engaged. They have to keep doing stuff. But as far as an actionable, when it comes to that, now it's different. I mean, now if we're talking about legislation and or if we're talking about, you know, court, things that can be settled in court, those are different issues.
Different.
There's lots of ways to go about them. But when it comes to an individual knucklehead like this, it's a problem. I mean, you're right. I mean, there just aren't a lot of levers for controlling that. And I still contend that the only thing that could cause a wider shift here, and I don't see any evidence that it's going to happen, is Trump's popularity or Trump's favorability numbers going so far down in the toilet that he starts to pivot. And somehow, we've talked about pivoting a million times. But
we have. And, you know, originally we agreed on that because we thought, oh, you're right. If his approval ratings are completely in the gutter, he is so ego driven, he would have no choice but to shift so that he stays likable. But the problem is, I think he's so his media literacy is so low.
Yeah.
Among the lowest I've ever seen. Of anyone, mm-hmm. And I'm counting like that one weird relative of mine that sends all those crazy ass email forwards in five different colors of Comic Sans. Right. I am counting that person.
Infants.
I met toddlers with higher media literacy. But really, he has an embarrassingly low level of media literacy. I think his ability to be in touch with reality is horrifyingly skewed. And so at this point, I think even if his approval ratings were to plummet, I think he would have a way to explain it to himself, to rationalize it.
Yeah, it certainly seems like that. I mean, nothing so far has shaken him. And honestly, the only way that you get him to start pushing back against this sort of alt-right nonsense is if Bannon goes. If he just cleans house.
Mm-hmm. Which he's not going to.
No, I mean, there's no reason to think that now. So.
I mean, hell, if I was president, I mean... I would not want to be president. You could not pay me enough to do that job. I don't want all of that on my shoulders. If ever I was called upon to do so, if I was, you know, there was four people left and I was the most leaderly, I'd figure it out. But not a thing I aspire to do. Nonetheless, after the first misstep in which people were dropping everything on a Saturday night and running to the airports. I would have obviously not ever done an executive order travel ban like that. But something of that scale where that many people, there was that much outrage, I'd be like, okay, I need to figure this out. I need to do this better.
It's like the Simpsons when Bart reaches for the cupcake that's got the little electrode on it, and he's like, ow. And he just keeps doing it. You're like, why aren't you learning? Like, you should be learning. That's what happens here. Course correct.
That's a common gag in the Simpsons, because there was the one where Homer keeps picking up the potato chip, and the puppy jumps up and grabs it. Damn it. And, like, the puppy just, ow. That's, like, always their gag, like, the repetitive thing. Like, when Homer's in hell, he's at the donut machine, and they just keep throwing donuts in his mouth, and he's fine. With it, that's like part of the rub of the Simpsons.
That's what I agree. That's one of my favorite. I mean, from a comedic standpoint, I love that. That's what I used to love about Letterman, was that he would, even if it was a terrible joke, he would just keep going back to it throughout the show. And the Simpsons do that. You see that kind of someone on Family Guy and other.
Well, I would say pre 2002-ish Simpsons really did it very masterfully.
Yeah,
it got a little weird after. It got a little different, and then now I think sometimes it veers into that Family Guy territory of, like, beating a dead horse, where you just keep hitting the joke. There's a difference in, like, a lightly, smartly done, repetitive joke with callbacks, and here's the punchline. Did you get the punchline? Here's the punchline. I'm going to give you the punchline again. No. Don't do that. But we digress.
Yeah, indeed.
So I saw a woman that looked like Betsy DeVos. on my travels. She was on a plane that I was on.
Okay.
She looked so much like her that I could tell other people were noticing that too.
Really?
Oh, and we all kind of looked at each other like, really? She's flying Southwest with us these days? That's what we're doing? That's how it's going? But it was funny to see other people kind of react like that and like, what? Clearly it was not her, but for a second there, you know, just to watch everybody kind of, wait a minute. And it would have been interesting had it been her, what would have happened? Because you could kind of see collectively backing away from her.
A brush with infamy? I'm sorry.
Who knows? I'm sure somebody was at something. I don't know. What would you do if you were like on a plane and there she was? Would you say something to her?
No.
I wouldn't even want to speak to her.
Yeah, I have nothing to say to her. No.
I don't have anything pithy I'd want to say to her. I would like, while I was sitting behind you on this long flight, I took the liberty of writing you this manifesto. Thanks, bye.
Yeah, and I also don't, honestly, I have never felt compelled to want to call somebody out publicly. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, there was didn't somebody do that to Ivanka Trump on a plane, I think?
Probably.
But not as shortly after the election or something like that. I just don't like that. I mean, I don't care who it is. I mean, people have their personal, I don't know. I'm not a big public confrontation person. I just don't think that makes a lot of sense. And it can be very intrusive and rude, regardless of who
it
is.
But like if a new kid on the block was on the plane, you'd be all up on that.
Well, hey, come on.
All kind of fanboy over that one.
But that would mainly just be to demonstrate some of my dance moves, because I have some ideas that I think they could really use. But
yeah. Are they still doing things? Anyway,
sure.
But speaking of that, Sean Spicer had an encounter with a woman in an Apple store over the weekend, which I thought was really funny. And he really shrugged it off. I kind of thought he would be a little fussier about it. But he was like, meh, I interact with people all day. It's free country. Which I guess kudos to him for that.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't. Again, I mean, it's not. I just don't think it's a. Somebody's just out and about. I don't think it's very cool to just kind of call him out and yell at him or do something or call him a fascist or whatever. I mean, people can do what they want. I'm not.
What if he's all Trump?
It's just not my. Yeah, I don't.
Do you feel? I mean, that applies equally.
Well, not if it's like a formal protest or something like that. But if somebody just happened to walk by and be like, "Oh, what's up?"
So, like in a casual setting,
jerk face. I mean, I don't. Yeah, I just don't think that's. First of all, I also don't think people. I mean, look, I did a brief Twitter rant this morning about the Snoop Dogg issue.
Yeah, I was just about to bring that up. Yeah,
yeah, okay, and so I'll get to that in a second. But yeah, but my general bottom line is I think I've got pretty good credibility on the not being a big fan of Donald Trump front.
Sure,
and, but
I think that's
I also think that you still respect the office of the presidency, and I'm
not trying to convince you. I'm just asking.
No. I know. Yeah, I'm just trying to explain.
I'm not trying to goad you into confronting
whatever
somebody.
Whatever, goof. Jeez. I'm out of here.
Help me out.
I didn't come in for a gotcha moment. No, I just don't think that's appropriate. I don't think that's the way we should deal with things in general. I don't think you should yell at anybody. But, you know, I don't think yelling at the president outside of if it's a demonstration or whatever, fine. But what do you get with that? I mean, what do you think that like, F you, Ben? You know, it's like...
Right, what do you expect?
Well, and he's going to go back and really reflect on things.
Wait, maybe I am a fascist.
Yes, exactly.
Hold on, let me think about this.
It just seems pointless. But the Snoop Dogg thing... So Snoop Dogg did a video. It looks like a world inhabited by clowns. Mm-hmm. And the video includes a clown that looks exactly like Donald Trump. And throughout the video... There's a few people who get shot with glitter guns. They look like guns, or a couple of them look like squirt guns. And anyway, but they shoot glitter. There's a white guy, a white clown gets shot in his car by a white cop. And then towards the end of the video, Snoop Dogg is holding a gun up, pointed towards Donald Trump's mm-hmm. head. And then he shoots it, and then like one of those bang signs comes out, and it shoots glitter. But nonetheless, you know, does
nonetheless,
look...
Nonetheless, it is pointing a weapon.
It's pointing a weapon. It looks like, there's an it's got a real assassination vibe to it. Let's put it that way. And Trump, of course, tweeted about that. Now, many people noted correctly that he responded to that and has still not responded to Steve King, to all manner... I mean, it took him forever to comment on the Jewish Day Centers, community centers, and the bomb threats and all this stuff. So
we're not satisfied with those. Speaking on behalf of all my people, whatever.
Right. So the bottom line is he's not, didn't speak about other things, but he speaks out about this. Okay. I agree with that. However.
Well, Rubio jumped on it first.
Yeah.
Rubio was like, he shouldn't have done that. which that's fair. Well, it has an assassination vibe for sure. No dispute.
Even Ice-T, I believe, it might have been Ice Cube, but I think it was Ice-T, said that he thought it went too far, which was interesting.
I don't know why I found that so funny just now.
Ice-T or Ice Cube?
Which one of you rap gentlemen are all about the ice thing?
I didn't mean that.
I know. I'm just going to give you a little bit of shit. It was funny.
Might as well.
Anyway.
Big fan myself here, anyway, of Ice Cube. Not so much of Ice-T. Truth. I'm a big rap person, despite how clumsily I just delivered
but
all
Ice-T
that.
But Ice-T is really good on Law & Order.
Yes, I love Ice-T on Law &
Order. So step off on the Law & Order.
Okay, so anyway, Trump tweeted about saying basically, you know, imagine if he had done something like that without... Oh, go ahead.
Can you imagine what the outcry would be if at Snoop Dogg, failing career and all, had aimed and fired the gun at President Obama? Jail time. Well, first of all, you can't go to jail for shooting a glitter gun.
Right, yeah.
Let's be clear about that.
Yes, that was absurd.
I'm not a legal expert, but I'm pretty sure shooting a glitter gun will not get you jail time. Also, it's a music video. Mm-hmm. He didn't actually point it at Trump. Mm-hmm. So let's be clear on that, too. But what I really want to double down on is I would not, by any stretch of the imagination, say that Snoop has a failing career.
Let's talk about
that.
But that's a given. I mean, he could be talking about, Bill Gates. Bill Gates, failed computer guy.
He's broke.
Right?
What? Yeah. No.
Failing nerd. Loser. Yeah, I mean, he's going to say that about anyone. That's just he might as well have like a keyboard shortcut that just puts in failed something, you know, because that's his sort of go-to. But anyway,
I feel like dozens of things he could perhaps consider responding to before he talks about Snoop.
Yes, totally.
Also, don't hate on Snoop. He's my guy.
Yeah, no, and I love Snoop, but I retweeted Trump's tweet and I said, you know, all right, fine. The jail stuff is nonsense, whatever. But this is maybe perhaps the first time ever I've actually kind of agreed with him because, A, I think that if you did flip this around and somebody was doing a similar video regarding Obama, people would have flipped out. I do think that's true, especially if it was, say, like some country music guy did, just to be stereotypical, did, you know, something where make it the exact same video and just play some out. I think that, yes, that would have been bad. However, more importantly, I thought the video went too far. I really did. And I don't think we should be. And that goes back to the idea of kind of still respecting the office of the presidency. I get it. You don't like him. I don't like him either. I don't like anything about him. But I still think that that is a step too far. And the reaction that I got was largely mad at me for saying that.
Well, that's a thing we've talked about so many times. Like, if you even have one point of support or dissent in the way that differs from a blanket hatred or blanket love, somehow you've betrayed the whole group.
Right. But the thing that people did, and this is what I think is important, and this is where I think we have to get out of this muck, they said, well, Ted Nugent threatened to, you know, shoot Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, which he did. You know, he did something on stage with a machine gun, and he's
And Trump said the thing about like you Second Amendment people.
Right. Yes,
deal with
exactly.
Her.
And all of that is true, but is that the standard that we're holding ourselves to now? Like, okay,
we're going to like argue over who's shootiest.
It's stupid, and that happens on the left and the right, and we're in this horrible cycle where we keep excusing crap because somebody else did it sometime, and that is the dumbest damn thing in the world. I mean, I hate it. I absolutely hate it. I hate it when Republicans say, well, Obama did blah, blah, blah.
Who gives a shit?
I know.
I'm talking about right now.
It's basic. It's two wrongs don't make a right, okay? It doesn't, okay? So I don't like what Snoop did. And that's that. It doesn't matter if anybody else did it before. Just because somebody did it before doesn't disqualify me from saying, you know what, we shouldn't do that. And the whole thing's, I mean, it's all wrapped in, again, there's so many layers. Yes, Trump shouldn't have even, you know, I mean, the president shouldn't be launching a Twitter beef with a rapper. Let's put it that way.
Also, my money's on Snoop on this one.
Yes, totally. And again, and I love Snoop. I have listened to Snoop for years and it's all fine. But, we have to be able to say something is wrong without the answer being, well, no, somebody else. I mean, if I, you know, if you go murder somebody and like, well, you know, Manson did that, or, you know, whatever. I mean, right. like that's not an excuse. So I just feel like this is a really bad place for people on the left and the right to be. And so people are going to say, well, they do, and say, well, no, but they're not going to change. I'm not going to change. Well, somebody's got to change. I mean, somebody's got to kind of lead the way here a little bit. And so I think that smart yeah. people should be able to stand up and say, okay, I don't like him, but I also don't like people even joking about
right.
assassinating a president, right. whoever it is.
We keep fighting with the wrong issue. The issue is let's not point guns at people, even in music videos.
Yes. Yeah, and that doesn't seem like a big ask, and that doesn't no. and that seems like something people should agree with.
Right, Snoop, you're my guy, but come on.
Yeah.
Let's not.
Right, and don't tell me that Ted. I don't give a five craps what Ted Nugent did, I don't care what Trump did or has done or will do. That doesn't justify somebody else doing right. something equally or more crappier or badderer.
We should get Snoop on the program.
Now you're talking. And again, I mean,
I love the guy.
Yeah.
But like I would say that if he was sitting right here, like, come on, that's a little far.
Right. And Snoop's a smart guy. I mean, he's smart. I mean,
he's real smart.
You
yeah.
know, people like to discount. I've said one of the first things that I ever had published was a little column that I wrote in the tiny little paper I was working for, because a principal had taken some kids, I can't remember the band, it might have been like a Public Enemy or something tape. Actually, you know what, it might have been a Snoop Dogg tape, as a matter of fact, but anyway, it was a cassette tape.
Mm-hmm.
Had found the kid with it at school, threw it on the ground in the hallway and smashed it in front of everybody.
What?
Yeah. And I said, and this was a while ago, and I said, okay, first of all, you just made every kid there want that album.
Yeah.
Number one. But number two, you need to listen to what hip-hop musicians and artists are saying, because they're reporting on what's happening. And people don't take it that way. They take it as, you know, just all this violent, horrible garbage.
Less.
And I'm not yeah. saying it's not flawed, and I'm not saying I like the misogyny and all the other. I mean, there's a lot of bad.
That extends beyond hip-hop. I mean,
yeah, right,
lots of music talks about, like, Hot Babes this and
sure.
Like, yeah. there's a ton of that. Like,
yeah.
look at
Van Halen.
I was going to say, like, look at all the, like, the hair bands from the late 80s. Like, those guys.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There were all the, let's take Warrant, for example, with that great song, Cherry Pie. Like,
yeah.
that is straight up, like, we all know what he's talking yes. about in that song.
Yes.
And it does not get, there's very little mystery in that song of what is happening here.
Right.
And almost all of those videos of all of the hair bands had, like, the Tawny Katane or equivalent mm-hmm. rolling around on top of a car.
Yep,
like,
exactly.
So that extends far beyond,
yeah.
and that's in almost all genres except for maybe Indigo Girls.
Yes, right. But, I mean, if people had started paying attention to what rappers were saying when they started saying it, maybe people could have gotten a little more concerned about the things that were happening in a lot of inner
cities. Well, that's just racism.
You know, yeah, right. But, well, and of course, the biggest consumers of rap music are white people also.
Is that true?
Yeah. So I've often been squarely in the rap demographic just because you're like a, I'm not anymore, but, you know, younger white men.
Well, because it's awesome. There's that.
Yeah, it's great. It's fantastic. And so, anyway, that's kind of a tangent. But, yeah, my point was that everybody kind of discounts, well, why should we, you know, those are just a bunch of thugs. Those are just a bunch of, it's like, no,
well,
they're
we
not.
Like, I mean, we have this weird permission cycle mm-hmm. where we go, you don't get to tell me that's wrong. Your people did this.
Yeah.
No, your people, well, fine. But we're still, we get in this, like, reverse permission,
mm-hmm.
or what do I call that? This, like, not punishment, because it's not that, but like a policing each other's actions thing,
yeah.
I guess. And like, we justify our own, well, your people did it, so I can. Well, that's not going to work.
No.
Because that's, I mean, we've all heard that one since we were in kindergarten. If so-and-so jumped off a bridge, would you do that? Like, it's that.
Yeah.
So we keep missing the fundamental issue. The issue is not whether or not I have the right to say something just because your people did, but in fact, let's just talk about what it implies and how violence perhaps gets normalized when we have, like, guns in pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to that. Hey, speaking of normalized, not actually at all, but speaking of pop culture, let's talk about how last night the internet blew up for a minute with
Rachel Maddow.
Maddow's. I have this. And then, well, I sort of.
Okay, here's, after much consideration. And I'm not a huge Maddow apologist. I like her. I don't.
Yeah.
I watch her show sometimes. I don't. I'm not. You know, I'm sort of on the fence, I guess. But I think what she did was purposefully give it a little hype. It wasn't super. I mean, it wasn't like they hyped it for days. I mean, they tweeted a couple hours before the show. That was the so the hype was not outrageous.
Her tweet was pretty bold. Like, yeah, it was the kind tweet of, wasn't promised, it like all in caps?
Yeah, the tweet overpromised big time.
It wasn't inaccurate,
right?
But it did overpromise.
But I think what she was trying to do was to lure in a lot of people who are either Trump supporters or maybe are on the fence a little bit or something like that, because she spent that first agonizingly long segment doing a brilliant job of explaining why we should care about this and all of the sort of detailing all the little threads that are unanswered and all these things. And so, and then she got to the meat of it and it was kind of like blonk and there was not much there. But so I think that they're smart enough.
I think that she's very smart.
Yeah, I think that was intentional. And I think that was and it will be interesting to see some of the polling that follows that. To see if, I mean, people's desire for him to release his taxes is already quite high. It's in like the 60% range. And it'll be interesting to see if that jumps a little bit now. And that'll indicate that maybe she did get some people to think more about this. But at the same time, you know, the risk of it, and I think what happened was that she kind of got people mad. And she oversold massively. I mean, you know, because what that didn't tell us anything.
Well, I don't think many people take a minute and say, what is the context here? What was her motivation likely? Mm-hmm. And if you take that moment and say, she got a whole lot of people to tune in and she got to explain why something matters,
yeah,
which is important to do.
Totally.
Because that can move a lot of people a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Just to explain why something matters, then I'm going to tell you I'm going to give you context for this. You decide for yourself. That is a very powerful tool. Just saying, I have this and here it is, not as powerful.
Right.
This is while I have your attention, let me give you a PSA.
Right.
That's masterful. And yeah. I thought that was the part that was like, I don't have cable, so I couldn't watch it in real time. I had to watch it later. But that opening was, and I was watching last night as people were tweeting about it, like, this is so tedious. Oh my God, she's teasing us. She's screwing with us. She's bearing the lead. And I was like, I wonder what she's really doing. So then when I was able to watch it later, I was like, that's exactly what she's doing. She was making space to make a case for something.
Yeah. And she did it very well.
Yeah.
I just, my concern is that the not having the goods to follow it caused it to fall flat. And I think that probably even some people who, I mean, it definitely fell flat for people who already think Trump's crooked and all that.
Sure, sure.
Because people are like, what? You know, and they already knew most of that stuff. But for the people who don't or who trust him still or don't care much about this or whatever, I think they watched that. But then they saw the follow up, which was like a total, really a nothing burger in the grand scheme of things.
A nothing burger.
And we're like, well, you know, there's nothing bad here. I don't know that they got the fact that, okay, this is only two pages. I wish there was some way, and again, I understand.
It would have landed more powerfully.
Right.
And if she had more meat on the bone there.
Yeah, and I don't know, I can't think of another way that she could have done that would have drawn that much attention. So I understand it, and I can't say that I disagree
with
it.
No, if she just would have gone on and like done a Twitter rant or opened her show in that way, she wouldn't have had that many eyeballs.
Yeah. I mean, the other possibility that I thought of, too, just as a journalist, was that this might be either showing whoever leaked it that they'll take it seriously, or just generally trying to shake the tree.
Yeah, I thought about that,
because people out there have these. I mean, there's no question that these documents are out there.
I thought about it as like almost like a bluff to see what he would do in the 2 hours leading up to the show.
Yeah, which worked, because they, you know, after saying forever that, well, he's under audit, we can't release anything, they were like, blank, here's a here's what happened.
Oh, this. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, this
can
I can do. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a tweet from, it was earlier this morning, from an opinion writer at Washington Post that I really liked, that I think is very relevant, because a lot of people were like, damn it, I thought this was going to be the thing that brings him down. And, well, first of all, there's not going to be one thing.
Yeah.
And I think that lures us into complacency to believe that someone's going to have this silver bullet that will bring him down. In fact, it's going to be diligent effort from a lot of people that is what is needed. But this tweet that this was sent out, he's Jonathan Capehart. I think I'm saying that last part.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's great.
He tweeted, too many of y'all are acting like Watergate was one big reveal. It took months of rigorous and boring reporting. Journalism takes time. I loved that. I retweeted that this morning when I saw it, because he's right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good reminder that there isn't going to be one, even if we look at like the shit show that was the Clinton Lewinsky scandal, that wasn't overnight either.
No, God, no. That dragged on forever.
That dragged on forever. Even when that, like, quote unquote, broke, that still tons of shit leading up to that.
Yeah.
That we, you know, we only remember the big things, but at the time, there was a lot of tedious stuff that led up to that. It wasn't overnight. It wasn't like a big sudden reveal.
And I think things are. Yeah. And I think that's why he's working so hard. Not just him, but his whole administration is working so hard to discredit the news media.
Yeah.
Because I think they recognize that that's really the true threat to them is journalists doing their job and slowly managing to untie all of these threads and figure out exactly where they lead. And that has to be their greatest fear, because it's out there. I mean, there could be an explanation for all of these weird little connections and all of these things.
And I'm not saying there couldn't be one piece of news that might emerge that wouldn't be big.
Right.
But for the most part, it is, even then, it's not going to be like one person says one thing and it's over.
He was caught on tape saying that he grabs women by the pussy.
And that didn't do it.
So I don't think there's going to be much, unless there's a tape of him murdering a clown or something like that.
Right.
Then I don't think. And even then, people don't really like clowns. So it may not, that could poll well.
Although I think that's, I call people sheep when they say that.
When they say what?
Because it's chic to say, oh, I'm totally scared of clowns. That's just a thing people say. I always say, why? What trauma is in your psyche that made you not like clowns? Tell me why.
I just think they're creepy. Why can't I think they're creepy?
You can, but I'm just saying, I think people just get on that shit like it's a bandwagon and just go, oh, I can't deal with clowns. Well, why not? I don't like them either, but I don't have an issue.
Kind of like not eating gluten.
Don't you fuck around with those gluten. Don't, Hubke, you're dead to me.
You don't need to. I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
No.
Oops.
And I am better for it. Thanks.
Well, how's that different than the clown thing?
because one is like a psychological thing you make up for yourself, and the other one is like, I legitimately feel better. Oh, neat.
Well, I feel better not being around clowns.
Get out of here. And when I say get out of here, I immediately pointed to the window, and we're on the seventh floor. I did not point to the door. I pointed right to the window. Get out of here.
That was hurtful.
There's a landing, like, right there. You wouldn't die. You just, like, sprain something.
I have a sweet lawsuit to go with it, too, so that'd be good.
Good luck shaking this place down.
I could retire to my bunker.
Oh, my God. Okay, so follow-up questions I have for you about the administration's smear campaign against the news media. How bad do you think it's going to get?
It's already pretty bad.
It's already pretty bad. Is this just new normal where we need to defend ourselves daily, hourly, or do you think there's going to be another shoe that's going to drop? I believe there will be another shoe.
Do you mean like people like actively trying to cause problems for journalists? That sort
yes.
of thing? Yeah.
I fear some kind of revision of libel laws.
Oh, I see what you mean. That's going to be tough. I honestly think that would be...
It would be very, very difficult, but I feel like... Something like that. One of those, like, you know, you weave in a sentence with, I don't know. I worry about something like that. I'm not saying what it would be like a slam dunk big thing. I just think it'd be like an inch to close this in a little bit more.
Look, I think at this point, I take nothing for granted. And I don't think that there's anything off the table. And I don't like saying that because I am not a conspiratorial person at all. And I generally trust the government more than a lot of people do, I think. But I've seen too many signs at this point, and I do not trust the people that are presently at the top. And so, to me, that means they will try to do all manner of things. I feel, more and more, I feel like they are out to destroy things, to destroy institutions and norms that we have. And that would, of course, include... the free press.
Yeah.
With no regard. I don't... And I feel like they're just driven again, and it's not with a in as the way I see it, this is not destroy with some sort of goal in mind. It's more just like a spiteful,
yeah, like chipping just, away at,
yeah,
at ability.
Like they've been, and I really do think that, you know, they've been wronged at some point, and this is revenge, and they just want. I feel like if, say, Trump winds up getting impeached and this whole thing blows up,
sure,
I feel like Bannon walks away just happy that he was able to muck things up.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I really do.
I believe, yeah, I think he would probably walk away feeling like, you know, I made a difference.
Right.
I moved the needle. I got people talking. I brought important issues, like issues important to him.
No, I don't think it's issues. I think it's just he wants to mess everything up. I just think he wants to wreak havoc. I really do. I don't think that there's a particular message that he gives a crap about. Mm. I think he hates government. I think he just wants to.
He's just a shitster.
Right. He just wants to. And if he walks away and is like, good, I made things worse.
Hmm.
That's all. I don't think he cares about this country. I don't think he cares.
You don't
about
think it. He has like he's to push forth a white nationalist agenda.
Oh, yeah. No, I think he's got that. But I don't think that I think that his.
He's not doing it as organized.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I think that they just want to tear down, you know, the sort of structure and institution of our government. I really
yeah,
do.
That's probably fair.
And not in a. I'm not saying that they're, you know, dictatorial or what. I just think it's honestly like a.
I believe I've said that.
Screw you guys. You know, this is dumb. Get rid of that. You know, we don't need these regulations. Screw it.
The regulations part is really concerning.
Oh,
very,
Lord.
Very concerning to me. And you know, the ones, they're all concerning, large and small. It's very sinister, like chilling to me when it's something small that seems like, well, that doesn't make sense. How would that manifest in this weird small way? And then you put the practical application of it to the test. And you're like, oh, this is how this would show up. This is horrifying. The mind starts to boggle with possibilities. So if you will recall the dream that I had in which Ben Carson forced all women in the United States to catalog their DNA. And if your DNA, he felt that there were personality qualities he could ascertain from studying your blood test in this horrible dream. And also in the dream, I might have kicked him and knocked the syringe out of his hand because I knew that I was going to, you know, she's a witch, burn her! Like, I knew I was not going to make it. So imagine the chill that went down my spine when several people started to tweet at me late last week, I guess, about HR 1313, which is about genetic testing in the workplace.
Yeah, I may write about that for my workplace column.
Please
this week,
do.
Actually. Yeah,
it is scaring
crazy.
The shit out of me. It's very, very scary. Essentially, it's there's a lot of stuff that's couched under these employee wellness programs, which are terrible. There's all the data. I did a bit about this on the air one night, and it's really. They just don't work. They suck. They're falling apart. And they're in many ways making people less healthy, like some of the things they're doing, some of the choices they're making. And there's plenty of information that suggests people might be lying when they're self-reporting about how much exercise they did. And
sure,
like all this,
course,
they're so flawed. But it's also like there's a lot of privacy concerns that have come up with them all along because it's kind of this way for your employer to have all this data about you that otherwise they would never be able to collect. Like it would be so illegal for them to ask you these things. But now there's this genetic component. What's scary about it is the reach of it because it can you could be on the hook to answer questions. I think it was as many as 4 degrees away. So we're talking great grandparents and cousins. I'm like, that's how did your great grandparents die? Like, well, one of mine like got trampled by a mule. I don't know. Like, I don't know what would happen after that. Right.
A genetic deficiency in the inability to run from
to
mules.
Haul ass from a mule back in the old country. Right. So I don't know. You know, one of them was like 100 and fine. So who knows? But nonetheless, nobody's business. And so there's that part. Then there are other parts of it that are very concerning to me, particularly if you are a member of a group that could have, there's a, like a genetic, you know, issue that could come up specific to your group. I'm thinking of sickle cell anemia. I'm thinking of Tay-Sachs, which is one that my people think about a lot. Like that's a big issue. And although they're, you know, it's kind of suggested that your employer wouldn't necessarily know who in that pool has that issue. That's fine if you have a corporation of 8,000 people, but most offices are not like that. Most offices are, you know, and just the ways in which that can break bad become very apparent very quickly.
Yeah, it's another potential filtering thing that
absolutely
people can use. Yeah.
And the idea is like, oh, well, okay, if you carry the BRCA gene, you know, you're going to cost me a lot at some point. Because insurance is really all about, it's like balances. It's like, I will absorb the cost of this thing for you. We're all betting on not many of us getting sick, so we're all going to kind of even it out.
Yeah.
So like, where does that go? If you've got like half your employees test positive for the BRCA gene, what?
Is there an insurance crisis on your horizon that you need to then, or that you start to address? And
or does that make you hire men?
Right.
Because you don't have to pay for breast cancer or ovarian cancer? Like, right. What does that do?
Yeah.
And to ask about someone's spouse and kids, like, no. There's really major privacy concerns. There's potential profiling involved. There's so much that I just, and I, although I come from a long line of conspiracy people, I do not feel that I am one. I don't like that one bit. And the whole thing with workplace wellness programs, it's one of those like, you don't have to, but we're going to penalize the shit out of you if you
right.
don't.
Yeah.
And that's not cool.
Yeah. And they are not. I did a column once about them also, and they're not effective.
No.
I mean, they can be effective in certain little areas and stuff with some smoking cessation type things might be helpful.
Something like that.
But it's not, I mean, overall, it's kind of like, meh, whatever, you know, it's not so great. And what's interesting too, is that these policies are coming from people who want like less intrusion.
Right.
This is like a huge intrusion.
Huge intrusion.
So yeah, I think it's ridiculous.
I have great passion around this topic. I think they're really problematic. I read a story a few years ago about, it was written by a woman who was in recovery for an eating disorder. Mm-hmm. And she had a workplace, like voluntary but not kind of workplace wellness program happen where you had to log your weight publicly.
Mm-hmm.
And she was writing about how triggering it was for her that she had been, you know, she went to therapy and all this, but it was like triggering a relapse from her in her like 30s or 40s or something after, you know, having dealt with it as like in her early 20s or something like that, because she was like, there's my weight up there competing with everyone in my office, which I can imagine that would be really difficult. And there's so much wrong with them to add this component. I lost my mind and immediately, because I had tweeted about that Ben Carson dream, even though I did so in shorthand, immediately a bunch of people started tweeting that story to me. They were like, Amy Guth, it's just like your dream. Shit. Because it kind of was. It was kind of horrifying.
That is a horrifying dream, first of all. But this is, it's really... And it's one of those that flew under the radar. I mean, it got picked up finally, but it, like a lot of people hadn't been paying attention to it.
And that's the stuff I worry about with journalism. Like little things like that will like chip away at libel laws or chip away at our ability to have information just on background for a story or something like that that really concerns me.
Yeah, it is troubling. But going back to the genetic issue, and a lot of people, including the legislation itself and the people defending it, are saying, well, you know, this can't be used against you. But really, I mean,
it's not going to hurt you is like, a terrible defense.
Like technically,
for just about everything.
Technically, right now, it's not legal for an employer to go through your social media and use that as a screening for employment, because they could, when you're, you know, once you've applied, because they, you know, they could see your religion, they could see your race, they could see your whatever. I mean, all kinds of things. Do you think that doesn't happen?
Right.
I mean, come on. Like, that happens constantly.
I've told the story in public many times of someone applied for a job and then social media was a part of their job. I looked at their tweets and he had just tweeted, just left an awesome interview at the Tribune. This bitch is nuts if she didn't hire me.
Oh, boy.
Do you think I hired him? No. Yeah. But before seeing that tweet, he was totally a front runner.
Yeah.
Like, bye.
Yeah. No, I mean, so there are things that...
People absolutely look at that shit.
Yeah. You can't take... Oh, don't worry, they can't use that against you as a thing, because, and then you find yourself not hired, or you find yourself unemployed and you want to sue.
It's invasive as saying, it's as invasive as saying like, and I'd say plenty of job interviews get around this in creepy ways. This has happened to me repeatedly of like, they're trying to kind of get a sense of your age and status and sexuality, because they want to know if you're going to ever go on maternity leave. And they believe, like, if you are in a serious relationship and straight, then I assume you're just going to have a baby at some point and bail out on me. Like, that has happened so many times to me in job interviews.
Yeah.
And you can feel it when someone's trying to get that info out of you. You're like, nope.
hey, I love babies. How about you?
Look at all my kids here and all these pictures on my desk. Right. It kind of falls into that like death by a thousand cuts thing, but like little microaggressions that seem friendly that will try to get information out of you. And I sometimes think people don't even realize they're doing it.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
But like back in the day before people kind of took this shit seriously, I was one time straight up asked. Mm-hmm. They were like, are you married and do you have plan to have kids in the next few years? And I was like, don't think you can ask me that.
Got to throw a flag on that one.
I'm pretty sure that's a no. I'm pretty sure that's a none ya beeswax. How about you don't ask me about what my plans for my womb involve? Thanks.
How's your prostate?
Right. So how's your sack? Yeah. Tell me about that. Yes. Like, suck it, man. Get out of here. Well, anyway, we're going to close on that note of how's your sack.
Suck it, man. Get out of here. This has been Guthin Hupke on Politics.
That's what I'm saying to you. All right. Well, we'll see you next time. We're going to go hide in the bunker that Hupke has allegedly built. Try not to blow the world up between now and next time. And we'll talk to you then.